Chapter 4. A Storm of Swords. From the Bear Pit to the Ending. 6. The Bear Pit. After having that dream, Jaime immediately convinces the guards he's being sent to King's Landing with to go back to Harrenhal to take back Brienne, even if it would make his return even longer. When they arrive, though, they find it deserted. All of a sudden, he knew what was happening. Have we come too late? His stomach did a lurch, and he slammed his spurs into his horse, galloping across the outer ward, beneath an arched stone bridge, around the Wailing Tower, and through the Flowstone Yard. They had her in the bear pit. When he realizes that they're having her fight a bear, his stomach does a lurch, and it's obvious that at this point, he really cares about what happens to her regardless. And when he gets to the aforementioned bear pit, he finds out he wasn't wrong. Brienne wore the same ill-fitting gown she'd worn to supper with Roose Bolton. No shield, no breastplate, no chainmail, not even boiled leather. Only pink satin and mirish lace. Maybe the goat thought she was more amusing when dressed as a woman. Half her gown was hanging off in tatters, and her left arm dripped with blood where the bear had raked her. At least they gave her a sword. The wench held it one-handed, moving sideways, trying to put some distance between her and the bear. It's no good. The ring's too small. She needed to attack to make a quick end of it. Good steel was a match for any bear, but the wench seemed afraid to close. The mummers showered her with insults and obscene suggestions. "This is none of our concern," Steelshanks warned Jaime. "Lord Bolton said the wench was theirs to do with as they liked." "Her name's Brienne." Jaime descended the steps, past a dozen startled sellswords. At this point, he's certainly not discussing her looks. He's more worried about whether she can take the bear or not. But what's telling is that when Steelshanks, the guard that has been tasked to bring him back, calls Brienne wench, Jaime, who has called her that since they first met, tells him her name is Brienne. And it's not the first time he does it. As in, now he definitely cares for her to the point where he loathes anyone else calling her a derogatory name and meaning. Then he takes a better look at how the fight is going. "Kill him!" he shouted, but his voice was lost amongst all the other shouts. If Brienne heard, she gave no sign. She moved around the pit, keeping her back to the wall. Too close, if the bear pins her by the wall. The beast turned clumsily. Too far, too fast. Quick as a cat, Brienne changed direction. "There's the wench I remember." Here, he's literally cheering her on and thinking that now he recognizes her skills. And he does a whole running commentary of where she might be going wrong while openly worrying about her, which is a complete turnaround from how they behaved at the beginning. That is, until he realizes she can't win because she doesn't have a real sword. "You gave her a tourney sword?" The goat brayed laughter, spraying him with wine and spittle. "Of course! I'll pay her bloody ransom. Gold, sapphires, whatever you want, pull her out of there. You want her? Go get her." So he did. And this is specifically telling, because while it's an extremely short exchange, he doesn't even think about it. If he wants to save her, then he has to get her. And so he does, jumping into the pit without even a plan or anything, because he wants to help her that bad. And he cares about her to the point of risking his life. "Well, what the seven hells do I do now?" He filled his fist with sand. "Kingslayer?" he heard Brienne say, astonished. "Jaime." He uncoiled, flinging the sand at the bear's face. The bear mauled the air and roared like blazes. "What are you doing here?" "Something stupid. Get behind me." He circled towards her, putting himself between Brienne and the bear. "You get behind. I have the sword. A sword with no point and no edge. Get behind me." He even admits that he has no idea what to do, But he still has time to correct her when she calls him Kingslayer for the last time. And they actually argue about who is supposed to get behind whom. Given that this is the one instance in which Jaime saves her slash acts as her knight, rather than the reverse, it's telling that Brienne still feels the need to be in between him and whatever danger they're facing, on account of having the sword when he doesn't. His plan consists of hoping the men escorting him might kill the bear before it kills him, and to do that, he puts himself literally between the bear and Brienne. Brienne tried to dart around, but he kicked her legs out from under her. She fell in the sand, clutching the useless sword. Jaime straddled her, and the bear came charging. That works. The bear is killed, Jaime has saved her, they're let out, and he goes back to correcting others about her titles. And I'll serve you the same if you give me trouble, Steelshanks threw back. We're taking the wench. Her name is Brienne, Jaime said. Brienne, the Maid of Tarth. You are still a maiden, I hope. Her broad, homely face turned red. Yes? Oh, good, Jaime said. I only rescue maidens. To Hote, he said. You'll have your ransom for both of us. A Lannister pays his debts. Now fetch some ropes and get us out of here. Now, this is just before the I Dreamed of You exchange we discussed before. And again, he corrects Steelshanks when he calls her wench, even if he keeps on doing that. He states that he only rescues maidens, same as it usually happens in songs. And when later she asks him why he did it, he answers that he dreamed of her, as discussed in the previous section. What's important here is that the first important decision Jaime makes after losing his hand, after he puts himself back on a path of trying to be the person he wanted to be when he was young. And when he was young, he wanted to be a true knight and help others and do good things. And what he's just done is one of the few heroic, selfless acts performed by anyone in the books. This is extremely telling, because on one side, Jaime is finally in the knight role for once and doing something that's coherent with the innate goodness in that ideology, instead of something that he hates or might soil him. While Brienne, who has always had to look out for herself and never had anyone wanting to be a knight for her, for once is put in the position of having someone come back for her and save her because he cares about her. And as stated before, Honorable Knight Saves Maiden from Monster is pure song material. Selflessly risking his life for hers is the first action that sets Jaime on a path of trying to be better and what he wanted to be. And it's what definitely changes Brienne's mind when it comes to him. And neither would have happened if they hadn't spent that time together, for bad and good. This becomes obvious in the last scene they have in A Storm of Swords, which is actually the crowning of their joint arc. In the book, Jaime giving her Oathkeeper and sending her on a quest to save Sansa Stark. 7. Oathkeeper. What happens in between the bear pit and the scene in question is that they go back to King's Landing. Jaime's relationship with Cersei doesn't start back on as good a foot as he had imagined. All the contrary. Brienne is imprisoned for Renly's murder, and Tyrion is accused of Joffrey's death after Sansa disappears from King's Landing, having been accused as well. After refusing Cersei's request to kill his brother, and after realizing that what he came back to is not what he wanted, Jaime talks Loras Tyrell into having Brienne freed, as he thinks she killed Renly and got incarcerated for it. And just after he and Cersei have a fairly bad row, during which he refuses to kill Tyrion for her and refuses sex with her, and she calls him useless cripple, he has Brienne called to his room. Now, their first exchange is already very telling. The wench looked as ugly and awkward as ever, he decided when Tyrell left them. Someone had dressed her in women's clothes again, But this dress fit much better than that hideous pink rag the goat had made her wear. "Blue is a good color on you, my lady," Jamie observed. "It goes well with your eyes." She does have astonishing eyes. Brienne glanced down at herself, flustered. Septa Dunis padded out the bodice to give it that shape. "She said you sent her to me." She lingered by the door as if she meant to flee at any second. "You look different," he managed a half smile. "More meat on the ribs and fewer lice in my hair, that's all. The stump's the same. Close the door and come here." She did as he bid her. "The white cloak is new, but I'm sure I'll soil it soon enough." "That wasn't... I was about to say that it becomes you." What this exchange definitely shows is that they're fairly bad at giving each other compliments. What's more important is that we can see that he's noticing that the dress suits her and that she has astonishing eyes, just after he remarked again about her looks. So he obviously doesn't dislike her all that much. In his dream, she had a womanly shape, and now he's noticing her looks without being as harsh as before. Also, he immediately assumes she thinks he'll soil the white cloak, but she thinks it becomes him. And this just after Cersei straight up mocked him for not wanting to have sex in the Lord Commander's apartments. By saying that it becomes him, she's pretty much telling him that she sees him as worthy of wearing it now, which is a complete turnaround from how they were to each other when they met. She's also entirely grateful for him having defended her, except that he's very much on the defensive, which is understandable, especially taking into account that he's about to go against his sister's wishes for about the first time in his life. She came closer, hesitant. "Jamie, did you mean what you told Ser Loras about King Renly and the Shadow?" Jamie shrugged. "I would have killed Renly myself if we met in battle. What do I care who cut his throat?" "You said I had honor. I'm the bloody Kingslayer, remember? When I say you have honor, that's like a whore vouchsafing your maidenhood." He's obviously trying to get her in a twist here, but it's also worth noticing that he just had a fairly upsetting conversation with Cersei, which he probably never thought he would have. So he's rejecting all of her attempts to be thankful to him. This before informing her that the Arya Stark his father sent north is not the real one, and thus betrays his own family to avoid Brienne running after her for nothing. "Why would you tell me all this if it's true? You are betraying your father's secrets." "The Hand's secrets," he thought. "I no longer have a father. I pay my debts like every good little lion. I did promise Lady Stark her daughters, and one of them is still alive." Of course, the one who is alive is Sansa. They discuss her status as wanted for Joffrey's murder, and Tyrion's as well. And we have another important bit of conversation. Brienne looked at him. "You do not believe he did it?" Jaime gave her a hard smile. "See, wench, we know each other too well. Tyrion's wanted to be me since he took his first step, but he'd never follow me in kingslaying. Sansa Stark killed Joffrey. My brothers kept silent to protect her. He gets these fits of gallantry from time to time. The last one cost him a nose. This time it will mean his head." "No," Brienne said. "It was not my lady's daughter. It could not have been her." "There's the stubborn, stupid wench that I remember." She reddened. "My name is Brienne of Tarth," Jamie sighed. "I have a gift for you." He reached down under the Lord Commander's chair and brought it out, wrapped in folds of crimson velvet. First, he's the first one acknowledging that they know each other too well. But what's important is that he has a gift for her. Usually, as will be discussed later, in courtly love, ladies send knights on quests with gifts. In this case, Jaime, after having the usual exchange about her name, and she called him Jaime before, straight up, says he has a gift for her and brings out the priceless Valyrian sword. And here we have a total reversal of the trope, because he is the one with a gift for her. Nor I. There was a time I would have given my right hand to wield a sword like that. Now it appears I have. So the blade is wasted on me. Take it. Before she could think to refuse, he went on. A sword so fine must bear a name. It would please me if you called this one Oathkeeper. One more thing. The blade comes with a price. Her face darkened. I told you, I will never serve such a foul creature as us. Yes, I recall. Hear me out, Brienne. Both of us swore oaths concerning Sansa Stark. Cersei means to see that the girl is found and killed, wherever she has gone to ground. Brienne's homely face twisted in fury. If you believe that I would harm my lady's daughter for a sword, you... Just listen, he snapped, angered by her assumption. I want you to find Sansa first and get her somewhere safe. How else are the two of us going to make good our stupid vows to your precious dead Lady Catelyn? The wench blinked. I thought... I know what you thought. Suddenly, Jaime was sick of the sight of her. She bleats like a bloody sheep. Ellipses. So you'll be defending Ned Stark's daughter with Ned Stark's own steel, if that makes any difference to you. Sir, I owe you an apology. He cut her off. Take the bloody sword and go before I change my mind. There's a bay mare in the stables, as homely as you are, but somewhat better trained. Chase after Steelshanks, search for Sansa, or ride home to your Isle of Sapphires. It's not to me. I don't want to look at you anymore. He acknowledges that he would have liked to use a sword, but he can't anymore, because he won't ever get back to his prowess. And so he's giving it to her, as in someone he knows could wield it and has the strength and ability to, and who, not incidentally, is following completely that knightly code he wishes he could have followed when he was young. This by utterly defying his sister's wishes, when for his entire life he's done the contrary, as in either acted on her request or acted thinking of what she would have wanted. He also puts it as the two of them fulfilling their oaths and gets angered when Brienne might have thought otherwise, even if his attitude from before probably didn't help her not getting assumptions. What's important, though, is that he wants to make good on their vows and to respect them. And the moment Brienne understands it, her attitude changes at once. She calls him sir and says she owes him an apology, but he doesn't want to hear it. This also speaks spades on how, while he's started on his own path, he still has a lot of anger issues to work through, and he just started on it. The conclusion, though, is what seals the deal. Jaime, Kingslayer, he reminded her. Best use that sword to clean the wax out of your ears, wench. We're done. Stubbornly, she persisted. Joffrey was my king. Leave it at that. You say Sansa killed him. Why protect her? Because Joff was no more to me than a squirt of seed in Cersei's cunt, and because he deserved to die. I have made kings and unmade them. Sansa Stark is my last chance for honor. Jaime smiled thinly. Besides, Kingslayers should band together. Are you ever going to go? Her big hand wrapped tight around Oathkeeper. I will, and I will find the girl and keep her safe, for her lady mother's sake, and for yours. She bowed stiffly, whirled, and went. First, she uses his name. Then, he reminds her that he's supposed to be the Kingslayer. But he doesn't know that she's completely rejected that notion, as is obvious from her chapters in the next book. She never uses it again, and actually gets upset when other people use it for him. But he likens the both of them, saying they're both Kingslayers, and should band together, probably assuming he'd anger her. Except that instead she doesn't become angry, takes the offer for what she knows it is, Jaime trusting her with his honor, therefore the most precious thing he has when she's the only one who knows he has it. In an act of extreme trust, And she knows exactly what he's doing. And by doing that, he's respecting her as a peer the way no one else ever did. And the fact that he puts his sake for last, most important, says a lot about how she's feeling about this exchange. He matters as much as the vow she made to her liege lady, and she's determined to do it, also not to betray the trust he put in her by sending her on a quest with a priceless sword, which is most likely what she's always dreamed of. And he's done that just after a fairly painful conversation with his sister, and just after, at the very end of this chapter, his last POV in A Storm of Swords, even if it's not the last time he appears. He does later to free Tyrion. This is what he does when writing his story in the White Book of the Kingsguard as last Lord Commander. When he was done, more than 3/4 of his page still remained, to be filled between the golden lion on the crimson shield on top and the blank white shield at the bottom. Sir Gerald Hightower had begun his story, and Sir Barristan Selmy had continued it. But the rest Jaime Lannister would need to write for himself. He could write whatever he chose henceforth. Whatever he chose. This is a fundamental passage in Jaime's character evolution, because it means he realized he's in charge of his own actions, and he gets to choose how to act and how his own story goes. And he does it after openly defying his sister's wishes for the first time in his life and sending Brienne off on a quest also for his honor, which means that for the first time in his life, he's in mind of doing what he wants, or trying to. And he could have never managed without the time he spent with Brienne. Meeting her gave him the push to see that it's possible to be an honorable person, and sharing time with someone who forced him to deal with issues he hadn't even thought about in years, and also helped him stay alive regardless of their feelings for him, and helped him through an immensely traumatic experience, helped him realize that he doesn't only have to rely on his family or Cersei. And when Cersei doesn't help him the way he had imagined she would, the same as he would have done for her, he has to face the fact that they aren't really the same person. And he can do it and finds his own way because he's met someone who reminded him of everything he wanted to be and could have been. But at the same time, he made her understand that someone sees her as the knight she's always wanted to be, and that she hasn't been taken seriously for, until meeting Catelyn. And we can see how this affected her and her Feast for Crows chapters, which in turn kickstart her own journey.